straight in your rows. Those the gaps and stand shoulder to shoulder.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Inshallah, after remaining adhkar, there will be important bayan by Mufti Sajid. You are all invited to join. Inshallah, it will be very beneficial. Alhamdulillah.
نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As a continuation from the subject that we commenced yesterday on the topic of addiction, we mentioned about how addiction is caused, the cycle of addiction, trigger points, the behavioral issue, the hormonal release, and then the crash state. We spoke about various why people get addicted to various activities or substances, etc. Then we went through some of the soft addictions. We mentioned about the excessive use of the internet. We spoke about, Allah forbid, pornography, etc. So inshallah, what I'll do today is I'm going to continue and mention a few more and inshallah give some advice that the ulama have given for those people who are addicted to these kind of vices. So speaking about the actual mobile phone, like we spoke about yesterday about the excessive use, etc. Another issue we have with the actual mobile phone is that the long, lengthy conversations that sometimes take place and the kind of gossiping that goes on. You know what gossiping means? Gossiping is light, informal conversation regarding other people's business. That's what you term as gossiping. So this can happen through the messages that are normally sent out. And a lot of times this happens through the lengthy phone calls that we have. There's nothing wrong having a conversation with someone on the phone. There's nothing wrong. But at times these conversations are prolonged unnecessarily, and the majority of times they will end up with gossiping, which then leads to slandering, backbiting, and so many different forms of evils of the tongue. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beautiful hadith I found today. He says, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسان. الله وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, the faith of a servant cannot be sound or correct or upright unless his heart is sound and correct and upright. Meaning our faith cannot be corrected or upright and sound unless our heart is corrected and sound. And the believer's heart cannot be sound or upright unless his tongue is correct and sound. Imagine, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam connected the soundness of faith upon the heart and the heart upon the tongue. You know, gossiping is so dangerous, I'll be truthful, I think all of us, including myself, we are probably afflicted by this. It is so harmful. And you know, why do people gossip? There's many reasons. Some people gossip because they just want to feel superior to others. They want to talk about other people's problems, other people's shortcomings, other people's faults, and make themselves feel better. Yeah? So what that happens is, normally you're just going to turn a blind eye to the faults in yourself, you're going to turn a blind eye to the faults in your family, and you're going to be gossiping and talking about other individuals or their families. Some people gossip because outright jealousy. They're just jealous of the individual. Some people gossip because they're bored. You know, they're just bored. They don't have nothing much to do. They don't have much activity during the day. You know, I mean, we all gossip, males and females. But a lot of females, you know, they spend a lot of time on the phone talking and having these lengthy conversations that always end up in gossiping. And the worst thing about gossiping, remember I told you, what happens, it always leads to severe evils. Things like backbiting and slandering. And a lot of time this is untrue. A lot of time there's fake news that spread, or fake information about other individuals. We're discrediting families. And unfortunately this is then spread far and wide. You know, what you must understand, you know, that, you know, we're Asians, we love spices, yeah? So whenever we have a conversation, we like to spice it up. It's passed on to another person. He or she passed on to her or him. And then he spices it up, you know, adds a bit of more spice to it. And then it passed on here and there. You know, it actually is so damaging to our fast. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, fasting is a shield. What does that mean? Fasting is a shield from sins. Fasting, inshallah, is a shield from the fire of Jahannam. As long as you do not damage it. So the Sahaba asked, how can you damage your fast? The Prophet ﷺ said, by dishonesty and backbiting. You know, nowadays, in the past, we didn't have long conversations, especially abroad. Why? Because it was quite costly. It will cost you a pound or two just for a minute. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, you know, the conversations are so free that people will be talking all around the world, and wallahi, you have no idea how much damage we've caused to families, how much disruption we've caused to families and breakages across because of this constant gossiping that we do over the phone. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So I'm just, you know, this is a conversation that needs to be had in detail itself. But I'm going to advise you about the triple filter test. It's called the triple filter test. So do this. Whenever you get a message, or whenever you start a conversation on the phone, the first filter, find out, is it true? The message you receive, is it true? That's the first filter. Find out, is it true? So you've been told by this such and such an individual, or his daughter, or his son, or whatever. First, find out if it's true. The second filter, find out, is there any goodness in it? Is there anything good about them? Or is it all negative information? So that's the second. First, find out it's true. Then the second filter, find out, is there anything good about them? They're speaking good about them. And the third is it useful or not? You know, if I pass this information over to someone else, is there any benefit to that individual or that person? You know, yes, sometimes you need to pass on information to individuals who may be able to assist them. But most of the time when it's gossiping, it's not about assisting, it's just trying to, you know, kick up conversation, you know. So that's very important. Another one that's attached to the mobile phone is the gossiping that goes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Then another one is, it's quite popular today, you know. It ranges from mild to severe. And if it's severe, it's called CBD. So if it's mild, it's shopping addiction, being a shopaholic. When it becomes severe, it's called CBD, compulsive buying disorder. So what is a shopaholic? Right. So a shopaholic is a person who buys excessive amounts of things that he doesn't need. So he's buying things, he doesn't require them. That's one. Another example of it is hoarding things unnecessarily. Just buying things unnecessarily. Yeah? Another example is spends excessive amounts on expensive gifts, etc. Another one is you spending above your budget, or you completely ignore your budget. That's also considered as a shopaholic. Another one is some people have multiple cards. So all they're doing is spending over their means, over their budget, accumulating debt. Then they do a credit transfer from one card to another, and sometimes, Allah forbid, they even accumulate interest. Another one is you start hiding your receipts and your purchases from your husband, from your wife, from your family members. Or you spend excessive amount of time shopping online or going to malls or the supermarket. That's also part of being a shopaholic. You know, the truth is, look, I mentioned to you yesterday, materialism is really promoted before our eyes. Yeah, that's it. So what's happening today is, and this is, I see this in the younger generation quite a lot too. Whenever something comes out in the market, a new pair of trainers, a new garment, a designer watch, that's it, you want it. You know, everyone wants to be dressed in designer garments, irrespective they can afford it or not. You know, that's what it is. Everyone wants it. You see children, Air Jordans come out, or the Air Forces come out. That's it. They're high demand, coming to the parents, making high demands about this. You know, what we must understand now, why does a person become a shopaholic? Why do we spend extravagant? Now, what does extravagance mean? Extravagance means you spend over your budget. Yeah, you incur debt. Or extravagant means you're purchasing things that you don't really need. Yeah, it's unnecessary purchasing. Extravagance means you're buying just for show and ostentation, to make yourself look good in front of others. Extravagant means you're doing it to make other people look inferior. That's what extravagant means. Allah mentions it so beautifully in the Quran. You know, He's actually warned us about the materialism trap. You know, we live in a materialism trap. He says, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Imagine. We recite this verse all the time. He said, competition for attaining worldly goods has distracted you. Allah is telling us in Al-Hakum al-Takathur, competition amongst ourselves to attain, be competitive in what? Attaining worldly goods has distracted you. You know, most people do this, become shopaholics based on competition. based on show. You know, you want yourself to, you know, and that's very common now, especially in the younger generation. You know, we want to be the best of the best. We want to be ahead in this rat race of materialism. You know, what happens is, remember I explained to you about the dopamine yesterday. So what happens is when you buy something new, you're wearing a new garment, you're wearing nice trainers, you get praise, an increased release of dopamine. You know, you're feeling good about it. You know, when people are praising you, oh, that's a nice jacket. This, what happens after a while, fashion keeps changing. Fashion changes quicker than the weather. So what happens, it goes out of fashion for a month or two, then people stop noticing it. They stop noticing what you're wearing or what you bought. And they start praising someone else for what they've got. So what happens? Then you start going into the trigger point. Remember, you got anxious. So then what happens? You go behavior. Then you go and buy something else, though you do not require. That's how shopping addiction comes about. You know, today, we've got this fixation on brands. Have you noticed that? We've all got this fixation on brands. You know, there'll be a basic common t-shirt. It's got a luxury brand and they can inflate the price. You know, people, I remember a friend of mine who's in the buying, selling business. So he goes abroad, goes to China, etc., to purchase these kind of goods, etc. So he used to mention to me that once he purchased some kind of electronic product. So what they do, you give them a minimum order quantity and they'll brand it under your name. So he goes, I went to a place where I purchased a certain product that they branded for me, and they were branding for a major company too. Same product. So all they did was they changed the name of the company, and it was the same product. So what happened is I was to sell that for 40, 50 pounds, and the company, because they got a brand name, would then inflate the price to 150 and 200 pounds when it's the same product. You know, I was reading recently, you know, sometimes we eat Kellogg's, yeah? A lot of us, we like Kellogg's, cornflakes or crunchy nuts, etc. So sometimes you get the supermarket brands, like Tesco branded cornflakes or Asda branded. It was mentioned in this article that they practically are produced in the same factory. One of them is boxed with the Kellogg's brand. I'm just giving you an example. And one of them has got Tesco or whatever brand. One of them sold for 90p, the other one sold for £3. Wallahi, today we're fixated with brands. You know, we're so fixated. You know, just having that satisfaction of owning a brand can make a person alcoholic. You know, Allah says so beautiful in the Quran. He gives it beautiful. He says, يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. He says, listen, you can eat and drink, fine, but do not be extravagant. Indeed, Allah dislikes those who are extravagant. You know, in the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, there's beautiful verses. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض. You must have heard of these verses. In there, Allah is mentioning about His special servants. And in those verses, the following verses, He mentions the characteristics that these special servants have. So Allah mentions وعباد الرحمن, the servants of Allah. Then He mentions the characteristics that they have, that are attributed to them, because of which they become special. And one of the characteristics they have is وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, that when they do spend, do they not spend extravagantly? You know, listen, I'm going to tell you a simple rule. If you've earned halal, yeah, you earn halal, your means of earning is lawful, then, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you prosperity, then it's completely permissible, completely mubah, and allowed for you to purchase, live a life according to your status. So if you're buying a nice car and it's within your means, Allah's blessed you, you wear nice clothes, it's not haram. Please don't get me wrong here. It is permissible, it's totally permissible. Yeah, if Allah has blessed you and your intention to be that you're displaying the blessing of Allah that Allah has bestowed you upon you. So it's fine, it's completely permissible. What is prohibited is you do it for show and ostentation. So you've got a nice Canada Goose jacket. A month later, another one pops up in the market. Now you're a Moncler jacket. You know, I know these names because I don't own them, you know, but I was just Googling some names. Yeah, you got a nice Moncler jacket, yeah? Fine, if you can afford it, it's permissible. Don't do it for show. Don't do it for ostentation. Don't do it because you want to make yourself feel superior and others inferior who may not be in a financial state as you. Yeah? Also, don't do it if you don't require it. So if you've already got a nice jacket, then in a month later something else comes out, then don't go and buy it if it's unrequired. That's what extravagance is. It doesn't mean that if Allah has blessed you with wealth, then you're not allowed to spend. You know, you are. You know, we're allowed to utilize the lawful pleasures in this world. We're allowed. But you must remember, you're going to be made accountable for them. So it's permissible, but the more we... You know, they say five things that we need to answer for before we move further in the akhirah. And one of them is how you earned your money and where you spent it. So you're not going to be accountable for these blessings, you know. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, it's a beautiful du'a. You know, the Prophet ﷺ made this du'a. Go Allah, make me amongst the poor and lowly. Oh Allah, make me die in the state of poor and being lowly. And resurrect me with the poor and lowly. Now the poor and lowly in this hadith means humbleness and humility. It doesn't actually mean poverty. So someone asked the Shaykh, should we make du'a for poverty? Should we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, grant poverty? He said, never make that du'a. Why? We can't handle it. Trust me. We can't handle it. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Ask for goodness in this world and hereafter. So don't ask for poverty. But Shaykh said, look, what you should do is, the word should be like a ball in your hand. You know when you got a ball in hand, you can play around with it from where you like. You're in control. So make sure the word is in your hands and you can play around with it as long as it's in your control. Do not ever let it enter your heart. When it enters the heart, that's when the damage happens. Yeah? Another example, you know, Mufti Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi used to mention that, you know, our hearts are such that they can, you know, only inculcate the love of one thing. They can only contain the one love of one. It cannot contain the love of two things. So you have an actual choice. You can have either the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embedded in your life, in your heart. That will lead to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so on, you know. Or you can have the love of the world. You can't contain both of them. Whatever you that contains in your heart, that is the priority in the life. So those who have Allah in their heart, inshallah, the deen has become their priority. But unfortunately, majority of us, ask yourself this question, majority of us do not have Allah. Deen is not a priority embedded in our heart. What is embedded in our heart? Materialism. So deen takes a back seat. That's why we don't prioritize it. Allah forbid, ask yourself. It's true. There's so many of us, we pray as we please. Some of us, we attend prayer Jum'ah to Jum'ah. Other than that, we got no connection to the deen. You know, is that we worship Allah ala haf. You know, وَمِنْ نَاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَفْ. There are those amongst the people who worship Allah on the boundary. We're literally, astaghfirullah, right on the boundary how we worship Allah. And the sad part of it is, we've still got the masjid to connect ourselves to because the males attend Jum'ah. The sisters, they don't attend Jum'ah. It's not mandatory upon them. So there are many sisters out there have no connection to deen whatsoever. So you know, put this, we need to embed the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in you. You know, we hear about the cost of living crisis. Everyone's talking about it, yeah? But the cost of petrol has gone up, bills are, you know, excessive. I understand the cost of purchasing goods have become expensive, the local grocery has gone up. But then we're still spending extravagantly. You know, how can that be the answer? You know, Mufti Shafi gave a brilliant piece of advice I'd like to share with you. How a person may assist you in the cost of living crisis. He said, look, you can't control your earnings. Majority of us, you know, we get a fixed wage that comes into our account every month. So that's not in our control. What is in our control is our spending. Go home and analyze your spending. I promise you, at least 10 to 20% minimum, you notice that we spend unnecessarily. You know, we actually spend... you know, we're talking about the youth and garments and clothes and etc. I'm sure most of you, when you go home, you probably got cash and carry in your basement. You know, the amount of tomato tins, sunflower oil. It's like, I think World War III is coming and we're preparing beforehand. You know, all the tomato tins and sunflower oil and washing powder. You know, Allahu Akbar. You know, that is also spending extravagantly, you know. So this is one addiction that just goes on. You know, unfortunately, I'll give you an incident of a sister. So what she did, she had this habit of spending, not on herself, on her children. She lived she actually lived close to here. So I noticed on these size ends, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people like to be dressed well. And so there's a lot of competition within themselves. So, you know, you want to keep up to pace. You want to keep up to standard. So spend a lot on clothes, upon children, etc. Now she hid... She did this on credit cards. This was way above her means. So what she did is the credit card, she registered the credit card to her parents' home. So what happens, the bills will come, husband is completely unaware, oblivious about it. The bills will come, they go to her parents' home. Only about a year or so later, she was in huge, thousands and thousands of pounds of debt. And, you know, imagine this happened to her. And this is the reality. My brothers, wallahi, and sisters, listen, don't worry about the hype. You know, don't worry about the hype around you. You know, this is the handiwork of the devil. He wants you, he knows. You know, the devil wants you to be blacklisted near Allah. So there's certain things that are blacklisted near Allah. He wants you on that blacklist. One of them, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ إِنَّ مُمَرْضِرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. So he wants you to overspend. He wants you to spend extravagantly. Why? So they, you get blacklisted near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another addiction that's quite common. Another one is sports. Specifically, let's go down to it. Football and maybe cricket in these sides. Damn, wallahi, our addiction to football, you know, and the way we worship. I use the word worship our teams, you know. Do you know what this causes? This causes negligence to deen. You know, imagine during the month of Ramadan, a few weeks ago, there's a high profile game of football. Yeah? It's time of iftari. Yeah? So many of us, our focus will be on that game. What's the result? What's the score? Who's winning? It's time of iftari. Time when Allah accepts du'as. We are in need of Allah's mercy. It's time for iftari. Where our focus is totally off the iftari. So many will be glued to the screen. Wallahi, between Asr and Maghrib, they probably were glued to the screen. So many, Allah probably forgot their Asr prayer or rushed into it, fearing that team have conceded. Imagine that. Allah, and when you lose, oh, I mean, the team that lost, the pain that it causes you. You know, you get argumentative. Wallahi, we don't feel that same pain while the ummah is suffering. We feel the pain when our team loses a game of football. And we don't feel the same pain when we see the Muslims in Palestine suffering, for example. And we become argumentative. And you know the stupid, and sometimes it causes friction. Imagine, I've never realized that a ball and a plank of wood could cause so much disruptions in areas. A game of cricket is just a sport. And people take it to such an extent that over the years, we've had disruptions in streets like Ilford Lane and Leicester, etc. You know, maybe based on a game of sports. Wallahi, mother, it's a hobby. I get it. You're interested. Do not let it dictate your life. And the next one, because I need to move on quickly. Oh, I mean, this is the one that the most complaints I get from parents. And this is specifically for my young brothers. Gaming. You ask any parent and they will tell you, oh, the list of complaints, parents do complain a lot, yeah? I'm a parent myself. And in that list, the one that you hear the most is gaming. You know, kids spend hours and hours, you know, on gaming consoles. Do you know how it affects them? It affects them physically, mentally, more importantly, spiritually. You know, I was reading that NHS had treated hundreds and hundreds of adults and teenagers and children for gaming disorder. I didn't know there was a gaming disorder. There's something called a gaming disorder, and they get treatment for this. What is a gaming disorder? The person is unable to control the amount of time he spends playing video games. You know, what happens to this? You know, what happens to them? They then result in avoiding work or schoolwork. And that, this is not just among teenagers. I've been told the majority of adults are addicted to gaming. So it affects them. It affects their social life. You know, and the worst thing is parents complain about it. They do. But then they justify it too. So sometimes they complain. They say, no, no, it's fine. At least he's at home, you know. He's at home, he's not on the street. He's not getting up to any good, no good. He's not doing any antisocial behavior. At least at home. I understand, fine. But really, really, for that many hours? You know, and you know the worst thing about it is, you know, is that I met a father. He goes, oh, my child, you know, he stays awake all the way to Sahri. And he's so pleased, alhamdulillah. And I was really pleased for him. I really was. I thought, stay, you know, and the holidays are coming up, so I'm warning you parents. So he stays up all the way to Saturday. I thought, mashallah, wonderful. You know, spoke to the child, so he stays up playing games all the way to Saturday. Allah. And you know the worst thing is what some parents do? Yeah? Some parents actually give them a console in their bedrooms. Wallahi, what are you doing? They spend hours on end playing consoles in their bedrooms. You know what this does? It distracts them from their deen. Yeah, it really does. They forget the religious obligation. Second thing, you know, a lot of time it contains haram elements. Music, sometimes these games have subconscious messages where you're pitted against villains who are Muslims. Imagine that. They're pitted against villains who are actually Muslims. And put that aside, the language, you know what they do? They go online. I'm sure your parents know this. They go online and they have these they all connect, playing the same game, go online, I don't know, FIFA or whatever it is. And the language, and because we've told them to go to their rooms or you're making too much noise, the filthy language, wallah, if you listen to the language that has been used, Allah forbid, you know, my brothers, listen. As Muslims, we believe Allah has brought us in this world for a reason, that His worship, yeah? We're allowed to relax and play. I'm not going to say to you that don't play. But you know what? Don't make it your sole objective of life. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You know, don't have this fixation on playing games. Once you've played a couple of hours, you've relaxed, you've let off some steam, then go back to those objectives, that those tasks and responsibilities which are really important. You know, don't allow it to affect your deen. Don't allow it to affect your studies, etc. You know, now parents, you know, parents are very defensive nowadays. Us parents, we're very defensive. We know our children got faults. When some flags them up, we're so protective, we're defensive. What advice can I give you? Look, educate, don't just impose, educate. You know, in the past, yeah, my parents, I was born in the 70s, yeah? My father and mother, they're in the mid-70s now. I was born in the late 70s, I'm not 70. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, but so I was born in the late 70s, grew up during that time. Listen, we didn't have nothing. If it was a no, it's a no. Go ask our beloved uncles and aunts. If your father told you no, it was a no. And if you try to change it to a yes, you know what's going to happen. I'm not going to mention it. Nowadays, unfortunately, because we pampered our kids so much from a young age. I'm telling you, we spoiled them rotten. Yeah, I've got teenagers and I've got 6-year-olds. So I know both sides of the spectrum. I've got teenagers. Because we pampered them. Today, you try to impose something on them, it's a no. They're 7, 8 years old and they know their rights. Yeah, they're about 5, 6. They don't know how to clean themselves in a toilet. They were calling mummy or daddy, whatever. But they know their rights at the age of 6. Educate them. That's what's important. Sit them down. Tell them the consequences and the harm that overplaying does. Speak and then impose rules. I've got teenagers. Yeah, I don't prevent them from playing games. You know, what I do is impose rules on them. So a school night is a no-go. They know that it's a no-go. It ain't happening. During the weekend, yes, they need to leave. You know, they've had a long week. So, yeah, make it a reward system. Educate them. Don't impose. Second thing what you should do is, you know what they do most of the times? Right, is the reason, we keep forgetting. We complain about all these things, phones and gadgets and consoles. But who provided them? We did. You tend to forget that. And do you know why we did this? To get them off our back. We don't have time for them. You know, we don't have time for them. They sit there having those boring conversations that they come up with. Wallahi, we're so negligible parents. We feel it's easy just to pamper them, shower them gifts. Here, go. So the iPhone or the Samsung and the PlayStation, that's doing the upbringing in this day and age. That's exactly what's happened. We do that. So what do you do? They get bored. Yeah, they get bored. I've imposed the rule. My child does not play console in the month of Ramadan. I've made it adamant. He's come to me. You know, he said to me that. I said, no. I've explained to him why. And he got it. Yeah, he doesn't get it first time. They're persistent. But you educate them. Tell them the reason why. And what you do, they will tell you they get bored. You know, put them into some form of activity. You know what's happened? Children are now idle. And then that's the devil's workshop. It's the same. What happens? They don't have much to do. We don't participate in their life. They get idle. Then they either go out in the streets, antisocial behavior and the evils that are found there, or they are in-house, in the homes, in their secure house, but still picking up bad habits. So put them in some activity. You know, I'm sure around this area, there's football clubs and sex clubs. Put them in there. You know, if you want, alhamdulillah, I'm affiliated with a club that we've been running in Forest Gate Manor Park. Hundreds of children attend. MashaAllah, we get them to come to the masjid. Even non-Muslims attend and they're in the club and they come to the masjid too. So, you know, inshallah, I've been told they're starting up very soon in this area, somewhere in Valentine's Park in May. So if you're interested, let me know and I'll pass on the deal. Get them, anything, get them. You know what they do? They'll get them off the console, get them off the phone, and they'll be in a good protective environment. Second, impose a rule upon the whole family. What is the rule upon the whole family? that at a certain time, no one is on any gadget whatsoever, and we're going to sit there and spend proper time together. So if you're going to say to your child, get off your phone, or get off your console, and you're on your phone yourself, come on guys, one child, he told me, his father told him to go pray namaz, and doesn't pray namaz himself. Imagine that, he's looking at his dad, he's telling me to go pray namaz, he's sitting there watching TV, and doesn't go pray namaz. It doesn't work. If you want to impose rules upon your children, you've got to show the way. You've got to be, you're the one that leads the way. So what you do, have a time, okay, this day, no phones, everything put aside, we're going to spend quality time together. So this is how you control the gaming habit, right? So these are, look, brothers, there are many other ones I could go through. Time is short, in the next 10 minutes or so, I want to talk about some of the coping mechanisms. So these are a few things that are what we term as soft addiction, something that, may go unnoticed, but are really prevalent in society today, and something that needs to be flagged up. I've given you very basic tips on each one, but ulama have mentioned some fantastic advice. They said you need a positive coping mechanism. Whatever addiction you have, you need a positive coping. A coping mechanism is how to deal with that addiction, but it's got to be positive. You know what I told you? Sometimes people took the wrong coping mechanism. They go into alcohol and drugs. No. You got to do a positive one. So the positive one consists of three elements: spiritual, communal, and physical. Now I'm going to end with this in the next 10 minutes or so. First is spiritual. You need to acknowledge and understand that you have a problem. That's the first thing. You got to understand. What that means, you got to set yourself aside one day and do muhasabah. That's what they call muhasabah. Self-examining yourself. You should do this every day. It's called self-reckoning. It's actually recommended. Sit there and think to me, look, how much time do I spend on the phone? Am I looking at inappropriate material? Am I spending a lot of time gossiping? Am I a shopaholic? You know, sometimes that kind of, because no one flags it up, it just becomes part of you. You need to sit and do a self-reckoning. You know, remember, admitting one's shortcomings is the first step to reformation. If you don't acknowledge your shortcomings, you're not going to correct it. If you don't feel you're wrong, you need to be right? So the first thing you need to do is understand, do a self-reckoning. So acknowledge that you've got a problem. Remember, that this is one of the devil's deceptions. What he does is doesn't allow you to acknowledge your shortcomings. What he'll say to you, look, listen man, you're watching something. I can understand it's inappropriate, but you're not harming anyone. You're not doing any harm to anyone, are you? And if so, inshallah, you've got a long way to go. You can do, Allah's Ghafoor Rahim. You can seek forgiveness later on. Don't fall for this trap. Acknowledge that you have a problem. Then, after you've acknowledged you have a problem, then you need to turn to Allah with repentance, obedience. This is, and dua. Now, this is one thing that is generally always left out. You know, when we have a problem in life, we try to find a solution in everything, but we don't look for dua. We don't feel like turning to Allah. That's why you hear people say, "Awe hum karsu, dua karsu." Oh, ab kya karenge, dua karenge. Like, dua is not the last resort. Astaghfirullah. My brothers, dua is the first thing we do. We know the only person who can resolve our problems is Allah. So you need to turn to Allah. You need to admit to Allah. Don't do a general repentance. No. When you're alone, do specific. Go through your problems. Open. Allah is well aware of them. But you need to open out to Allah. I've got this issue. Allah, I've got this. Allah, you only can assist me. Only you can show me the path. So that's the second. Admit, turn to Allah in obedience. Remember, well, Allah mentions in the Quran, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innamal khamru wal maisir." He mentions about alcohol, he mentions about gambling. He says these are the handiwork of the shaitan. Then later on in the verse he says, "Innama yuridu shaitan." He actually tells us why does the devil get us addicted to alcohol, gambling, and these kind of idol worship, etc. He says because he wants to cause enmity and disunity amongst us. And another cause is, وَيَصُدُّكُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ عَنِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. He wants to prevent you through these addictions. He wants to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah and Salah. So remember, my brothers, irrespective of how sinful you are, no matter, do not give up worship. Offer worship. Whenever the opportunity, once, twice, whatever the opportunity comes, my brothers, do not give up worship. The devil will come to you and put these whispers and say to you, what's the point? You're indulging in so much haram. You're an alcoholic. You're gambling. You're a drug addict, or you're doing this and such and such a thing. What's the point of one salah? What benefit would that salah do? That's his trap. Don't fall for it. Continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, do not ever give that up. So that's the second advice. And always remember, this change is going to be difficult. Giving up a habit of sin is not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. If it does, alhamdulillah. It will take time. And many times you might slip up. It will cause pain. You know? If you slip up, don't worry. Re-intend, repent to Allah, start the journey again. If you slip up again, sincerely repent, start the journey again. You know, it's mentioned about from Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali, you know, someone said to him that the best person is that one, that's the one that gets tempted and he repents. Meaning he gets tempted by the world and he repents. So someone asked him, what if he commits that sin again? He goes, then he should sincerely seek forgiveness and repent again. He goes, what about he commits that again? He goes, he should sincerely repent and forgiveness and repent again. He asked him, so how long does he continue that? As long as he can then defeat the shaitan. Always remember, whenever you take a journey towards Allah, it's a difficult journey. Sometimes you've got these habits that we've inculcated during our lifetime for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. They're not. It's really difficult to kick them out. You know? Always remember, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنْهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully, those who strive in our path, we will guide them on our path. Remember, Allah is with you in this journey. So irrespective of how difficult it may become, keep striving. Another important message, 5 more minutes inshallah. Remember death. The Prophet says, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَزَّاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. Remember that which is the destroyer of pleasures, death. When you're sitting at home, laying in your bed, imagine, where is your life leading? And think to yourself, what if I passed away in this state? How would I stand before Allah? You know, I remember reading an article of a doctor. He's a young doctor. He says, you know, I've learned so much during my journey in medicine. I've learned so much. And one of the things I've learned is how fragile life is. You know, I've seen people die young, old. People die suddenly. People die slowly. At the end, I've realized that everyone will go. And those, you know, sometimes when you're informing someone who's in some kind of fatal illness, that he has a short period to live. And the expression I see, the grief and terror I see in their eyes, you know, and the realization that, wow, you know, we wasted this gift of life, has made me realize how important life is really is. You know, that's why we must understand. You know, Allah says in the Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمْ مَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِي لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرْكَ اللَّهُ. You know, Allah says, when death comes upon them, they will say, my Lord, send us back so that we may do righteous deed that we left behind. When death comes upon them, they will say to their Lord, Allah, send us back. We've got it. We understand now. Please send us back. He says, Allah, no. That opportunity is gone. You know? So that's spiritual. Connecting to Allah, acknowledging. And another part of spiritual is understand your trigger points. You know, find out what triggers you. So for example, if someone feels that the environment that they, the friends that the circle they have, is the trigger point for this wrongdoing, then you need to change your environment. If you feel that if you're in seclusion alone, browsing your phone at night, if you're browsing where no one's there, then that's your trigger point, then what do? Stop browsing, put your phone away. You know, work out your trigger points. It's easy to repent, but with the repentance, you need to work out what is causing you to commit this sin. What is causing you to commit this addiction? Work out the trigger point and eliminate the trigger point. Then comes the communal part. Speak to someone. Sometimes, you know, some addictions are such, you need to get professional counseling and therapy. It's a must. So get professional counseling and therapy. Speak to ulama. Speak to those you trust. Speak to family and friends. You know, don't go on this journey alone. Speak to someone. Inshallah, you have it in the back of your mind that someone knows. So you can refer to them whenever the problem occurs. So that's one. Also, you know, Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin." Those who, all you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful. Surround yourself in good company. You know what benefit of good company is? It makes you, motivates you to do good. Today the problem is we're in company that constantly gossips or back chats. We're in company, my young generation, you're in company that encourages you to start vaping and Allah forbid later on going to using substances. Change your company, your surrounding. It is so important that you change your surrounding. And the physical part. You know what I told you about dopamine? This is a chemical that gets released when you feel enjoyment. We anticipate enjoyment. We need to rewire our brain. You know how dopamine works? Dopamine doesn't only work with negative addictions. Dopamine can be released with positive actions also. It's the way we rewire our brain. You know, imagine you hear people, Like my ustad, he used to have this addiction on reciting Quran, which is wonderful. He used to, whenever I see him, he would just be reciting Quran. Wallah, he undertakes journey abroad, and during the whole journey, we're on in-flight entertainment system, yeah? He's just reciting Quran. He says he completes multiple Qurans in his journeys. Now, you and me start reading Quran, 3 minutes, and we're bored. You know, wallah, we just gonna pull out our phone, look at it, then start reading the Quran. We pray namaz and we find it an absolute burden to pray. I mean, Tarawih is like punishment. It's like capital punishment. We've got no interest. We read about the Sahaba. Let's the Prophet of the Sahaba. Let's put them. We read about the pious predecessors who spent hours and hours offering salah. Hours in seclusion doing zikr. You kind of work it out. What's going on here? I can't read Quran for 2 minutes and them spending hours. Do you know what it is? Their dopamine release is based on this. They've rewired their brain. So they get the same enjoyment we get in vices and evils. They're getting the same enjoyment in the worship of Allah. So that's the physical part. You need to change your bad habits into good habits. Pick up a hobby, a good hobby. MashaAllah, the massages, organizers, they need a lot of voluntary work. Help them out. That will assist you in doing work which pleases Allah. They'll put you in good environment with good people. And what would happen, it doesn't happen overnight. So believe me, it's not going to happen overnight. Trust me. But that's what you need to do. We need to release that chemical in our brain where we anticipate wrong. That's why when they commit sin, when we lie, it's so normal for us. We probably lie so much. We lie during our fasting, wallahi. I've read about mashayikh, when they even had a thought of a lie, that would have such an impact on their lives. We lie, why? Because now dopamine release is for good actions, not evil. So when they do evil, it's like the same way we feel reading Quran, they feel the same committing evils. So you need to role reverse, rewire your brain. And one last thing, inshallah, it's a beautiful hadith I'd like to mention, and I'm going to finish with this. You know, for those people who are struggling with addictions, those people who are embedded in sins. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he's recorded good and evil deeds. Whenever a person intends a good deed, then a good deed is written in his record. Yeah, it's the meaning of a hadith. So when you intend a good deed, you sincerely intend, I'm going to go do this today. I'm going to do this today. But for some reason, you got diverted, distracted, and you were sincerely wanting, I'm going to recite Quran today. Yeah, but you got distracted. Then inshallah, Allah will write a good deed against you in your record of deeds. If you intend a good deed and then perform it, Allah says He'll reward you 10 to 700 or even more times. Allah knows best. Imagine that. If you intend an evil, you got this resolve. You made a resolve. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch this movie today. I'm going home. I'm going to get on my phone and do this or do that. There, you don't commit that evil. Then what happens? Allah writes a good deed in your book of deeds. Imagine that. A good deed because you reverted from it. If you go and commit the evil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only writes one evil deed against your name in your book of deeds. Ajahn, understand this. Sometimes we struggle with addictions, sins, we do. We really want to come out this web that we stuck, this hole that we're stuck in. We all want to come out. Always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you is in this journey with you. Every time the evil thought crosses your mind, try to eradicate it. I know the urge is so strong that sometimes it can make you depressed and anxious, but try to eradicate it. Imagine the many times you've eradicated, imagine you have accumulated so many good deeds that you may surpass those individuals who may be doing piety. Imagine, you have no idea. I never judge people. If I see a person come in the masjid, he's dressed in some kind of manner, an Islamic manner, he's got a kind of haircut, he's wearing earrings, etc. Most of us, we end up judging these people. And sometimes we deter them away from deen, making comments and looking at them. Don't ever do it. I've learned not to judge anyone. That person may be struggling in some kind of problem in his life. But he's, you know, Allah's raising his status because he's fighting back. So imagine, so every time you get this urge to do something wrong, you subside it, you stay away from it, Allah will write a good deed in your book of deeds. This will inshallah assist you in overcoming these addictions and problems that we see prevalent in society today. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all gives me and everyone listening the ability to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.